On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other fine publications. This episode is supported by PersonalUmbrella.com, where you can quote standalone personal umbrella policies of up to $5 million in 3 minutes online by answering just four simple questions. Our guest today is Rick Morgan, a veteran of the insurance industry in marketing, technology, writing, and speaking. He is the Chief Marketing Officer at Wave, work-at-home vintage experts. Welcome, Rick.
Well, thanks, Peter, and thanks to Wells Media. Glad to be here today.
Yeah, and Rick, we've known each other for probably 30 years now. I tried to count. You and I launched this podcast. You were my co-host for years. I think it goes back to 2007, if you can believe that. I know it was one of the first insurance industry podcasts. We worked together here at Aartrijk. You went on to work with an organization that you helped found called Wave. Just a fantastic company, but also at a point in time, certainly, you know, I mean, you guys have been around a while, but more recently with the pandemic and everything, what are some of the lessons for yourself, being a remote work company too, Wave is, that you guys have seen? What are some of the big takeaways of this 2 years of a mess we've been dealing with?
Well, interestingly enough, I think that the industry now, and not just our industry, but most industries have learned what and have experienced what Wave's been doing now for 12 years, and that is promoting and making possible this whole idea of remote work. And I think when I think back 12 years ago, and you said people are going to work from home, our industry, but all industries thought that's ridiculous. People who are working remotely, working from home, can't be productive. They can't be good team members. It just will never work. And so one of our challenges early on was to convince the industry that, well, in fact, it can work. And now, of course, after the pandemic, we know that. I mean, everybody has absolutely experienced that remote workers can be every bit as effective and valuable team members as their in-office staff. So, you know, from that perspective, it's been kind of interesting. But to your point, to your question, there have been some positive outcomes, I think, that we can think about or talk about that I think the industry is starting to experience, and some opportunities have been created. And for example, regardless of what your firm is, whether you're planning on going back or have already gone back to mostly all in-house work, or whether offered and promoted the whole concept of remote work or are in a hybrid work environment, the office is being reimagined. And I think it was time. So, you know, the insurance agency didn't change all that much for, you know, lots and lots of years, for a long, long time. And now I think we have that opportunity to rethink the way we work. And we have to, because the talent that we want to attract is demanding it. And that's in itself unique, I think, or different than it ever has been, because they're in charge. There is such a talent gap that the industry, you know, the workers can now say, look, this is what I expect. This is the kind of culture I want to work for. This is how I want to work. And good management is paying attention to that, because if they don't, they're going to lose the war on talent. So besides the office being reimagined, I think also the traditional office that used to be all about where productivity happened, it's not critical any longer to be in the office and be productive. The office is no longer critical for culture. So we are learning, and we are definitely in that process of learning how to create a hybrid culture, a remote work culture that is attractive to the workers and works for traditional agencies and carriers. And the other thing is that, you know, a beautiful office and a really great work environment used to be the key for winning the war on talent. And now it's kind of the reverse. If you really want to win that war on talent, you have to be offering flex work options and, you know, a hybrid environment or create a workforce environment that is flexible. And then, of course, I think one of the last things that I'll mention just quickly here, and then we can, you know, go back and dig into it deeper if we need to, but is the idea that now work can, in fact, and is being done from anywhere. And so it's not just a location, but it's also the time. We can't, you know, we're breaking down the whole concept and the barriers around an 8-to-5 workday or a 9-to-5 workday. Now people are working early in the morning and late at night and sometimes on weekends and other things like that. And that's okay. But that does also create some other challenges that we can briefly touch on if we need to. And that's the whole idea of burnout. So that's kind of what I'm seeing at a very high flyby.
Yeah.
The kind of stuff that's changing.
Yeah. Well, thanks for teeing it all up for us, Rick. It's good stuff. I read a piece in the Wall Street Journal by an HR professional. I forget his name, but he said, work has evolved to, it once was a place it's not a place we go, it's a thing we do.
Yeah.
And that is, to your point, your last point about the burnout thing and people working from anywhere. You know, I was at a conference recently and there was a trade media representative in the room who had his laptop fired up during the conference, which is not unusual, but he was actually moderating a webcast from the conference from across the country.
Yeah.
And he had his headphones on. He's attending this conference and he's doing that. And he said, you know, I used to go to the office and do this, and I still do once in a while, but no one else really goes to the office. So I have to do this at all different times. And it really struck me that, you know, people are working some, you know, if you love what you do, it doesn't feel as so much like work, but I can see where people are actually putting in more hours. We saw that during the pandemic for sure, Rick.
Sure.
We saw people putting in more, not less hours, because they wanted to prove that it could work, and it can.
Right. Yeah, and I think we're now kind of going back and saying, wait a minute, we really do have to pay attention to this whole burnout thing. But part of what helps with that is the flexibility. In other words, I think what we learned is that the people that like our model, that like the whole idea of remote work and working from home, one of the big drivers in that is the freedom and flexibility that provides. And so also in a time when the industry is really struggling to find and keep talent, experienced talent, because there's a huge, and it's not just in our industry, it's across many industries, there's this talent gap. And because of that, an agency who used to look for their talent, you know, in their same town, perhaps, or in an area fairly close to where their traditional office was, now the world is open to them, certainly all the US. And interestingly enough, we actually have waves, people who are 1099 workers that live in other countries and are working for agencies here in the United States. They got their experience here. They that's where they, you know, grew up and were involved in the insurance industry here, but maybe they moved because their spouse moved to somewhere. And so now they're working from other countries. So we really have this huge opportunity to do that. And the whole idea is that changes that discipline of the 8-to-5 is now opening up and saying, just get the job done. Doesn't matter when you do it, doesn't matter where you do it. And I say that, but also recognizing that clearly there's some jobs and some positions and some responsibility to be available when others in your maybe the in-person office are around, and or when the client needs to get a hold of you. So you can't do everything, you know, at midnight. but we do have it just created a really wonderful environment where we can be very flexible.
Yeah. Rick, if you could speak a little bit to this idea. I mean, I know that a lot of CEOs of insurance carriers are just there's a lot of fear and loathing about what this new world order looks like with mm-hmm. how many days a week does everybody come in. You know, do we ask people to come in so they can sit in their office with their headphones on and do Zoom calls to people who aren't in the office? You know, just to say we have an office and let's come in, let's keep the culture. That's on the carrier side. On the agency side, a lot of agency owners are so worried about this. They're like, well, we need butts in the seats or we're not getting stuff done. I want to see my people. I don't want them remote. It's just, there's just still a lot of uncertainty. Have you guys been able to crack the code as a remote company yourself and keeping that culture and making it work, when people are remote?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to recognize that when you have a hybrid environment, you've added a significant layer of complexity. If you're all remote, that's one thing. And you can create processes and procedures that deal with that are just kind of straightforward in dealing with a remote environment. If you're all in person, the same thing holds true. I mean, that's the traditional office model. When you're doing both, it creates for managers in particular a lot of complexity. And I think we're only just now beginning to learn how to deal with that. Because, for example, if you've got some people in the office and some out, just what you said, I mean, do you have to have a Zoom call with, you know, half the office in and half the office out? How does that work? And so making, you know, creating and coming up with processes and procedures that enable that hybrid work environment is a huge challenge. It can be done, and agencies and carriers alike are certainly learning to do that and getting pretty good at it. But part of it is just recognizing that it's difficult and that you can't just do business as usual. You have to actually come up with some new stuff, some new ideas, and not forget that you do, when people are remote, you can't just hold an office, a meeting in the office and forget about them. You've got to make sure that you invite them, right? Include them in the process. And so I think this whole concept of communication then becomes extremely valuable and extremely important. So doing things like holding one-to-one meetings that are not just about work, but having a one-to-one meeting where you contact people that are working for you and just ask them how life is, you know, what's going on, how did your weekend go, whatever, you know, and have that kind of conversation, just like you might have in the office at the water cooler when somebody came in and you talked to them about their, you know, whatever they did that weekend. You've got to now do that remotely. And I think it's just critical to understand that and to pay attention to it.
And your company, Rick, I think you guys have retreats. Can you speak a little bit about that? Will you bring in everybody?
Sure. So we are 100% remote and virtual, and we do a lot of things. So we do have one-on-ones. We do have Zoom calls frequently with the entire, well, actually we use Microsoft Teams, but same idea. With the management team and then with the entire 50 employees that we have, we all get on the call and have those kind of team meetings. And then twice a year, and we had to do these remotely over COVID, but we just finished our first one in 2 years. We had it down in Cabo. In Cancun, Mexico, nice. Where we had a retreat. We brought everybody in. We can afford to have a meeting like that at a really nice resort because we're saving, you know, a lot of money on what would have been office, you know, monthly rent and all of the expense of having a physical office. So I think as companies, again, depending on how they are going to structure moving forward, have to think about all of those things and pay attention to them. I think if you're really focused on that and intentional, you can figure it out. It's when you just go, oh, well, it'll kind of work its way through the process that you run into trouble. Because no, it is, again, this whole intentional effort to recreate your office and the culture that you want that office to be. And speaking of culture, I mean, that alone is a challenge to do when you've got a lot of remote people or if you're all remote or virtual. But it can be done. It is being done. So just pay attention.
Right. So you're placing waves. The folks that have a lot of experience, most of them, they work for organizations all around the country. Have you seen, Rick, in the years you've been involved since it's been a company, kind of like the classic culture where the waves really works well? Is there a size of agency or MGA or carrier type of talent? Are you seeing trends there? Because I know that some of them just seem to really managers embrace this concept. Others are still kind of struggling with it.
Well, I think that's the key, Peter, is that embracing and paying attention. I think we have over 600 waves now placed in about 350 to 400 different insurance firms, and that's carriers, wholesalers, brokers, and Main Street agents of all sizes. So it's not so much about that. It's really about the firm, whatever it is, understanding what they're doing and paying attention to that. So what happens is the wave, and this is that hybrid environment to some degree, you've got an in-office staff working, you know, like certainly before COVID and now after, many of them coming into the office and working at least part-time, but the waves are almost 100% virtual all the time and always have been. And so those firms that were doing that prior to COVID actually, I think, made a fairly smooth transition into the pandemic environment, if there was such a thing. And now as we come out of it, are also, you know, doing very well and are reaping the benefits of that. Because now, as agencies look for staff, wherever that is, I think they're finding that the staff is demanding that hybrid work environment. They want that flexibility to work at least part of the time remotely in a virtual environment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, you know, so again, to answer your question, yes, it's really about the culture and management rather than the size of the firm or type of firm.
Mm-hmm. Rick, if I think you touched on this already, but if you think about the traditional office with, you know, I mean, you and I have been in probably thousands of them over the years. Mm-hmm. You have the executive office in the corner or the top floor or both. You have the cubicles, you have the managers have an office and they have the sea of workers out there. You have the lunchroom, you have the water coolers, you said, you have the mail room, you have the parking lot, you have all this stuff, right? And I just wonder how the offices are evolving. Have you seen a scenario where, because I read another article that said people are not going to want to go to the office just to work in their office and not talk to anybody. The whole purpose of an office now with this new work world is to almost like, it should be almost be like a country club or where you go just to have some fun and collaborate and not just work. The work you can do anywhere. You can do that at home. You can do that in the Pete's Coffee right. Shop. But when you go to the office, when we have these work days where we call in the people who are able to come in, it's something different that occurs.
Well, I think what you're saying, and this Hill, it's the same with meetings and even Zoom or team calls. You don't do it just to do it or just because you can. There has to be a reason and a purpose to it. So sometimes it's absolutely worthwhile and valuable to meet in person and you know, you've got to work something through and it's better done in person. So again, part of this whole process of reinventing the environment, the culture, the office is to evaluate each person, each position, and each task and function and determine which ones are done it makes no difference where or when or how it's done. And then others where, yeah, we could actually do this so much better if we all meet together and work it through. So I think that's the key is to, again, think about reinventing. And one size does not fit all. So really work, it's the challenge and the responsibility of management to evaluate what's going on and how it's going on. And don't just make a statement, well, I want everybody in here one day a week, just because. I mean, why? What's the point? Because we are finding, and you know, this goes into a whole cultural shift where people are less less willing to go into a downtown, you know, heavily urban environment and take the, you know, take the train or drive, especially you know, right now with gas prices and crime and all that. They're just not interested in doing that. They're moving to rural America and wanting to work at least part of the time that way. So
yeah,
and the thing is, there's no right solution to all of this. I think we're still very much in the process of figuring it all out, and that's okay. Just realize that that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Boy, that's so true, Rick. I was in New York City a few months back, and I mean, I was looking out my hotel room, looking. I had this view of multiple offices. You could just shoot a cannon through them and not hit anybody, because not only were there no furniture in these office buildings, but there were no people. It was just, I'm like, they have to be reconfiguring these for condos or something, because there's just no one here. That's just anecdote, but I feel like, you're right. People are tired of the schlep. I mean, I used to work in the World Trade Center. I worked in there for 5 years and New York City for 10, and did the schlep on the train and walking in the subway and everything. Work was a place you went to. And now you look at just the population shifts, you're going to, as a insurance carrier, broker, et cetera, you're going to have to look all around the country for really, really good talent. Because they've moved. You know, they've packed and they've left, and they're moving to, a lot of them are moving to lower cost states for tax purposes, et cetera, but also just to kind of reset their lives. I mean, you know, if you, and I want to talk too, Rick, you're like the poster boy of moving around. I mean, you've had a very interesting career, as you know, all the things you've done over the years with, as a technology commentator, pundit, speaker. You've had conferences you put on yourself with your colleagues, and you've done a lot of interesting things at Applied Systems and some other companies, worked at ArcTrike. You've done all these things. And more recently, you've done it out of an RV with your wife, and traveled all around the country in your RV and even to Mexico. And now it seems like you've settled in Southwest, if I got it right, Colorado. Talk a little bit about that, Rick, because you were kind of ahead of yourself, but it's so fascinating. Now I think people, like, RV leases and purchases are off the charts. You know, people are living
in
a dream.
In a different demographic. I mean, I think when we were RVing, it was older workers and people, and now it's families and young workers. And interestingly enough, our kids are doing some of that, and their RVs are now being more configured to have, you know, mobile offices in the RV. So that industry is sort of paying attention to that as well. Hard to know where that'll all end, but from my experience, pretty much all of my business career was done with a fair amount of virtual or remote work. And you know, back in the day, it was pretty rough.
A lot of 737s.
It would be ideal. I mean, I was taking apart phones and hooking up modems so I could do communication, you know, over, you know, there wasn't any early on, there was no internet. And when that came, that was a boost. And then, you know, when cell phones happened, that helped, but the speed was horrendous. And, you know, today, wow. I mean, aside from what we're talking about now, just think if our culture, our society had not had the internet and good cell service during and Wi-Fi and all of that during the pandemic. If we think we were isolated when we had all of that, if we hadn't had that, it would have been.
Oh, no kidding.
You can't even imagine, you know? But the point is that I knew from a practical experience perspective that you could be very productive and do most of the work that needed to be done from anywhere, and having that freedom and flexibility to work. I mean, I would get up pretty early sometimes. Living in Colorado, I'm two time zones out of New York, and a lot of the people I worked with were on the East Coast, so I'm up early to meet their time zone, you know, and make that work. But then I'm quitting early from my perspective, you know, 3 o'clock, it's five in the East. Mm-hmm. So you just, you know, because quite, you know, we've been talking about what the responsibility of owners of insurance firms is and managers, but what about the workers themselves? They have a responsibility as well to do the right kinds of things and to make sure that they don't burn out and that they sort of demand that communication be good and be part of all of that. In other words, if there's a Zoom call, show up. And if there's work that to be done, make sure you're doing it. And when there's questions or issues, reach out. I mean, it's all of those kinds of things. So both sides of the equations have a huge, huge responsibility as we move forward into this really uncharted territory. And we're still learning. And if, you know, I'll give you an example. This was really an interesting thought that talks about that and helps with burnout and that kind of thing. I was talking to an agency manager, and what they asked all of their workers that were working from home, for working remotely, to reinstitute the commute. But the commute was, when you wake up in the morning, instead of getting in your car, go out and walk around the block. And that was the morning commute, as opposed to getting in your car. But that is the way they broke from the bedroom to their home office, was they did a commute, but the commute was to go outside and go for a walk. I thought that was less like, of course, that's just wonderful. You know,
it's that mental disconnect, isn't it?
It is. It is.
That's pretty good. Well, I feel good, because that's what I do in the morning.
Yeah. But well, that's a creative way of saying, wait a minute, you know, we reset the clock and our psyche and our mental acuity to get ready to work from, mm-hmm. you know, waking up in the morning at home. I liked it.
Yeah. That's very clever. Because, you know, this shift in work, Rick, is it wasn't just a couple of months that we've had with the pandemic. It was a couple of years plus. And now people have replaced that commute time with other things like yoga, hanging with their kids, walking the dog, going to a coffee shop. It's like, hey, I have all this time back. I mean, it's hours a week for a lot of people. And you multiply that by, you know, the average 11 or 12 people in an independent agency. That's just, I mean, it's days and days of commuting that you're saving. Yep. What do you do with that time? You can be much more productive. And I think that's why, Rick, and everything I saw in talking with my marketing folks around the country who work in the insurance industry, they overwork. They are the kind of people who are trustworthy, to your point. They did show up. They worked really hard during this time. And I think they're kind of proud of it. They're kind of proud that the company did well. The industry is pretty resilient after all. It's one of those things everybody keeps paying their premiums. It's not like, you know, a restaurant or something that travel industry. Can you imagine if we worked for a cruise ship company? You know, we're toast, not insurance. Yeah. Gotta love it, man.
Yeah. Well, so and what we're talking about, if you think about what all of this is about, this new culture we're creating, right? And it's interesting enough. I mean, some of the statistics you find is that culture is a huge factor when and if and why employees jump ship. But culture is more than shared values. It's the kind of thing where it's all about sound leadership practice. It's about a policy, company policies that align with employee behaviors. It's focused now, and you were talking about this in terms of yoga and stuff like that, about employee well-being. And so, for example, at Wave, we have, again, through Teams, daily online yoga sessions and exercise sessions that are not, we don't lead them, but we get everybody together and they can, who want to, and they can join in a group yoga session on Teams. It's that kind of thing that people now feel part of a group, they feel part of a team, and they can do that during company time. And so the company is saying, this is important. And we actually, if people do that in a quarter, three times a week, we actually give them a gift card. So it's sponsoring and supporting employee well-being and personal growth and things like that. So it's just a way of it's again a shift in what's going on. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what we've been talking about is this shift and change in culture from where it used to be.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in all that. Learn that it's not the shiny objects and branding that mean most. It's branding from the inside out that's more enduring. It's the culture. It's the internal brand, the employment brand that matters more than anything. Because if people love a company, that love will translate to the customer. Oh, you know,
huge, and, absolutely.
I think, Rick, too. They say that crises have a way of speeding up change that was occurring anyway. And We all saw what was going on, but wow, what a shift! But I think the industry has done really well with this, and there's going to be some folks who just insist on being in the office for no good reason, but others will insist on being in the office for a very good reason. So I think you're right; it's all over the place, and I think it's up to management as well as the rank and file employees to take ownership of the situation and make it work. Cause I think I don't know what the other side of this is. It probably isn't any quote other side. But I just think it's the old way and the new way. And it's kind of exciting. I think the industry will actually become much more diverse and younger, which it has to, because of this, if they embrace this kind of change.
Those are really great comments, Peter, and I completely agree. I think, and my experience is the same. I still am out, you know, going to different events and speaking, and being in an exhibit hall or whatever, and talking to an awful lot of agencies and carriers and brokers around the country. And we did do well, and these people are working really hard and paying attention, and doing some really creative, good things that are helping and will help the industry to be successful as it moves forward. So it's exciting. It's a huge opportunity for sure.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's very different than it was, you know, pre-pandemic for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Rick, it's always great to catch up with you. I'm glad things are going well. Enjoy that beautiful country out there in Colorado, and we'll see you on the circuit. Hopefully later in 22 and 23. Yeah. The fun never stops.
It never stops.
Take care.
Well, thanks, Peter. Yeah,
you bet. Thanks.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.